This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, before we begin this message from Jeremiah today, just this word. You may have heard one or even two of the illustrations or stories that we used this week in a previous message, probably about a year ago. You didn't hear this message. You heard a couple of stories perhaps out of this message in a different context, obviously with a different text. We continue with the 12th message today about God being a mighty warrior in your life. It's a word for somebody today. Dwight Walter, by his own definition, is the adult child of an alcoholic. Key phrase in counseling, ACOA, adult child of an alcoholic. He wrote a poem called The Taste of Fire, and I'm going to tell you right up front, it's one of the most depressing pieces of writing I've ever read in my life. One of the most depressing pieces of writing I've ever read in my life. I'm just going to share part of it with you. It goes like this: I was crippled for 5 years as a child. I was raised by two sick people who taught me three things: insanity, fear, and hatred. Can you imagine saying that about your parents? They taught me three things: insanity, fear, and hatred. I was raised in hell. I was raised in hell. Chaos felt normal. Chaos felt like home. Now, when I tell that story, there might be some that say, well, that is, why would you tell a story like that? Why would you quote that? Would you believe that in the first two services, there were a number of people who said, that's my story. It's what I went through. And so in middle America, in a church on Sunday morning, there are people that can listen to a piece of writing like that and say, it's what I went through. That's my life story. And so that speaks to people, and it's honest. And people, maybe to a small extent, you can relate to it on a small level, or maybe a medium level, or perhaps in a great degree. In Chicago, there's a famous church called Moody Church or Moody Bible Church, probably one of the most well-known older churches in the Chicago area when I was growing up. Alan Redpath was the minister there years ago. He suffered a near-fatal stroke and sank so low in depression and despondency. Here was his prayer: God, just kill me. God, just kill me. I don't want to live with this stroke. I don't want to live anymore. Just take my life. I just want to end it. And those are painful descriptions and painful memories, both what I read, honest descriptions of people's pain in their lives. And you say, why would you begin your message with those two stories? For this reason. I'm going to share with you one of the most depressing passages in all of the Bible, where Jeremiah, the prophet of God, is so low, get this, he says, cursed is the day I was born. Cursed, it was the man who brought the news to my dad and said, your wife just had a son. That's low. And he even uses the dramatic analogy about, I wish my mother's womb would have been my grave, which is an interesting expression in terms of the timing of that thousands of years ago. I wish my mother's womb had been my grave instead of the place where I was born. You say, well, again, why are you telling that? For this reason, we're going to read that passage. And right in the middle of that passage, of all the sadness and despondency and depression that Jeremiah was going through as a spokesperson for the Lord, he breaks into song and says one of the most powerful affirmations about your relationship with the Lord. And there's somebody that came here today, I really believe this, in this service, you came just to hear that verse. Well, I don't know if you've ever thought of a scripture being depressing, but I'm going to tell you this. This is one of the most depressing texts I've ever read in a message on Cross Hope. I want you to listen to it today on this Tuesday and let it speak to you, because there's part of it that you may relate to, of the depression and the downcast spirit of Jeremiah, the prophet of God. Listen as we begin with the reading of this text. Let's read it together in Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah is speaking and he says, "O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me, makes fun of me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip." Anybody watching you to see if you mess up in life? Sure. More people than you think there are. Just waiting for you to mess up. Just secretly hoping that you fail and you fall again if you fell before. And they're just waiting. And that's what Jeremiah described of his friends. Here's the verse that you need to underline in your Bible and in your heart. "But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child is born to you, a son.' Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" You may say, "Well, I didn't go through what Jeremiah did." No, you didn't. But you've gone through elements of what he described in terms of his life. He talks about that people mocked him, insulted him because of what he said. I've got news for you if you've not found this out. Not everyone who works with you is a family member is excited about the fact that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Not everyone's happy that you're a believer and that you're a Christian and they're just so taken with that. There'll be a lot of people that actually will be a little put out with you because of that. They don't want to hear your message. They don't want to hear the good news of what's happened in your life. But I'm going to tell you this. When there's a crisis in their life, when there's a death in their family, when there's a divorce in the situation or a divorce in the offing, you may just find the people who made fun of you earlier talk to you later. And the people who didn't think much about you or spoke mockingly or offensively to you about your faith, when they go through a crisis, you're the one that they turn to. And I really believe that happens. I can give you anecdotal evidence of that, where people make fun of a Christian and then there's a crisis in that person's life. They don't go to their atheist friends for comfort. They don't go to their agnostic buddies and say, "Can you give me help in this?" They go to people who intuitively they know, instinctively they know, they've got something I don't have. And maybe they've got a word. Maybe they've got a word for me. Very few people in life get through 70 or 80 years or beyond without being depressed, despondent, defeated, whatever term you want to use. And oftentimes we tend to think that people with a bright persona don't have problems. I've got a theory that the brighter the persona, the deeper the shadows, the darker the shadows. What does that mean? Somebody who's always bright and cheery oftentimes could be the person that goes through deep depression. Well, I want you to continue with this message tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. Crosshope.org. And oftentimes we tend to think that people with a bright persona don't have problems. I've got a theory that the brighter the persona, the deeper the shadows, the darker the shadows. What does that mean? Somebody who's always bright and cheery oftentimes could be the person that goes through deep depression. And the person who's always on can really shut down to nothing. The person who's always on personality-wise can have a dark side to that personality, where they just withdraw totally from people. And Jeremiah goes through one grief situation after another, and he's so depressed that he regrets ever being born. Don't raise your hands, but there are people that you have said in one phrase or another, "I wish I'd never been born. If I knew I was going to face the grief, I was going to face the problems, I was going to face the disappointment, one after another that I've had to go through in life, I sometimes wonder if it would have been better that I not have been born." So what Jeremiah wrote about isn't so far-fetched, is it? It's not. And I think, you know what? When you yield something of your brokenness to the Lord, the Lord will do something with your brokenness. He really will. He'll work in your past. He'll work with your sin. He'll work with things that have happened to you 10, 15, 20 years ago. And what you thought was there to destroy your life is something the Lord says, no, let me work in it. You may have had some horrible things happen in your childhood, but do you know what you can determine in the name of Christ? It stops with my generation. It's not going to continue. And it may have happened in your generation and your parents' generation and the generation before them, but as a believer in Christ, you can say it stops now, it's over. A new generation is coming in this family, and there will be new things that will bless people instead of curse people. And I believe the Lord can do that and will do that. Some of you have heard of a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a leader in what was called the German Confessing Church during World War II. He was one of few ministers at the time who stood up to Hitler. It cost him his life. He was eventually executed. He refused to call Hitler the Führer, which means leader in German. He preached a sermon from his pulpit, "Christ is my Führer," and ended up in prison. But he wrote this from prison, letters and papers from prison. He said, "In me there is darkness, but with God there is light. I am lonely, but God does not leave me. I am restless, but with thee there is peace. In me there is bitterness, but with you there is patience. Your ways are past understanding, but you know the way for me." Bonhoeffer could not have written those words unless he'd been through the valley. You know, God is not only on the mountaintop, he's in the valley, and the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. He's with you. And that's why verse 11, in the midst of this depressing passage, is so comforting, and somebody came to hear these words. "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." What in the world does that mean? The reference to mighty warrior is a reference to God's power and authority. It's a reference to his capacity to do whatever he wants to do. And so Jeremiah, using language of the day that people could relate to, he could picture a warrior in his mind, and he said, God's like that with me. And in the midst of depression, in the midst of saying it would have been better that I died in my mother's womb, it would have been better if I'd never been born, Jeremiah was able to say, "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving 2017. I'd like to think that wherever you're at, whether you're here in the Dayton, Cincinnati area or you're out of town, you will think of this word from Jeremiah, that the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. You need to affirm that on Thanksgiving Day. Your family needs to affirm that. The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. God bless you. Crosshope.org. Jeremiah was able to say, "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." I want to tell you a couple stories that I think will help you understand it and help personalize this for you. I'm not bragging or complaining when I tell you this story, but this is the honest to goodness truth. I have not read a novel since the 1970s. Now, some of you read Grisham. Is it John Grisham or Tom Clancy and all these novels? And that's fine. I just choose not to read novels. And haven't read a novel since 1978 or something like that. But somebody gave me a book that I couldn't put down. They said, "Just read a few pages," just kind of tempting me with it. And I got to page 23 and I said, "Will you let me keep this book?" The book's called Life as We Knew It by Susan Pfeffer, P-F-E-F-F-E-R, Susan Pfeffer. The premise of the book is this. The moon is struck by a giant asteroid. And the asteroid hits the moon and knocks the moon off its axis. And actually knocks the moon, believe it or not, closer to the Earth. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, the moon controls the tides. And in the story, thank God this is just a novel, but in the novel, just on page 23, the entire eastern coast of the United States, all the cities are gone. The whole state of Rhode Island is underwater. The Statue of Liberty is carried out to sea, just carried out to sea by the current. It's just, it's an amazing story. And that's just page 23. I have a feeling it's going to get worse after that. Things are really going to start getting ugly. After the eastern seaboard of the United States, every major city on the East Coast is gone, totally underwater. And as I was reading just those first 23 pages, what came to my mind, I said to myself, does the Bible speak to a cataclysmic event like this? Yeah, it does. It's Psalm 46 that says, even if the mountains fall into the ocean, we will not fear, because God is with us. Even if the very mountains fall into the ocean, Southern California falls into the ocean, the Appalachian Mountains fall into the ocean, we will not fear. You know, that's a pretty dramatic statement, because I think I would be a little bit afraid if I saw a mountain fall into the ocean. Might rattle me a little. And the psalm writer says, we will not be afraid. What did he mean by that? That no matter what happens, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Somebody came today and you needed a word from the Lord. And when I got up and started reading about Dwight Walter talking about his childhood, I said, man, what good is that going to do me to hear that? And it may not. But I know what can do you good is to know that the Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. And life as we know it may not be that cataclysmic, but there are some of you privately that are saying life as we know it will never be the same since the divorce. And life as we know it will never be the same since dad died or mom died. Life will never be the same since so-and-so passed away, since we had this tragedy or this crisis in our family. And we all have those life as we knew it moments. Everybody does. So what's the message? The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. All his power, all his capacity, all his authority come to bear in my life when I know that the Lord is with me. Well, wherever you may be in this world on Thanksgiving Day 2017, I'm going to ask you to affirm to yourself, maybe this the person who's next to you, with you, in the car, someone across the table, someone sitting on the couch with you, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with us like a mighty warrior. God bless you on Thanksgiving. This is a story that I laugh when I hear it, but I also choke up. It's called life. Life's like that, where you laugh and you choke up at the same time. Years ago, when our children were small, we were visiting my sister who lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the time. She said, there's a place you need to take your kids to. It's called Buell Planetarium. And that's if you've ever been to any planetarium show, you know that they lower the lights. And I am not exaggerating. The only thing you can see in a planetarium when they lower the lights is the red exit sign. That's it. You cannot see your hand in front of your face because that's the nature of it. They want it to be totally dark, so they project images of stars and the solar system, the galaxies and so forth up on the dome. So the lights came down. It's totally dark before the program begins. Annie said she felt the hand of a four-year-old boy on her arm. And in the darkness, she heard a voice say, are you my mother? Are you my mother? Annie said, yes. And Jonathan said, good. Good. There are people here today that are reaching out to the Heavenly Father in the darkness of what you call life, and you're saying, God, are you there? Do you know what we're going through as a family? Do you know what we've been through personally? Do you have a clue? Do you even have a clue of what we're going through? And I want to tell you that through Jeremiah 20, verse 11, the Lord says, yes, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. I'm not sharing that with you today so you can just kind of be pumped up by a magical verse and this is just a good luck charm to claim. I'm talking that this is the reality for your life, that you got to believe it. Do you know what the alternative is? Despair. You know what the alternative is? Total surrender to depression, total surrender to despondency, total surrender to everything that's sad and bad in your life. Or you can say, no, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. He's with us when the lights are on. He's with us when the lights are out. With even the mountains fall into the sea, we will not fear. Why? The Lord is with us like a mighty warrior. This is a word for somebody today, and I've got a notion that it's for everybody today. Everybody that needs to know the words of Jeremiah, who was so despondent. In fact, I didn't tell you this at the beginning, but Jeremiah has just been thrown into prison. He's just been beaten. He's in stocks. It could be that he was in something like we remember from years ago in our history where people's hands and feet were in stocks. And that's what he was in when he says, Lord, you conned me. You deceived me. You didn't tell me this when you had a plan for my life. And somehow he was able to break into song, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to make it the basis of your life. I'm not asking you to just accept it cognitively and intellectually believe that as a nice thought and something to put up on your refrigerator. I'm asking you to instill it in your heart as the basis for life, because sooner or later in 70, 80, 90 years of life, you're going to go through your Jeremiah moments where people have insulted you. You're going to go through Jeremiah moments where you say, Lord, I feel like I've been had by you. By you, God. You will have those moments. But the words will come back resounding. The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Believe it. Trust it. And stake your life on it today. Let's pray together. Well, frankly, I don't know where you are right now. You may be driving. You may be in your home. You may be at work. I don't know. But could you pray to him right now in your heart and say, Lord, I recognize that you're with me no matter what happens. You're with me like a mighty warrior, and I have the word of God in Jeremiah 20, verse 11 to prove it. That's crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.